Praise God, praise God, hallelujah. And right after service, Sister Sandy Kofer is bringing two platters of cookies. One is white chocolate with nuts. Sounds good. And the other one is oatmeal with nuts. And they'll be out here, and they'll be on a platter. You get the platter and all the cookies. And they're $10 a platter, and that's for the pew bake sale. So, yeah. That would be a good thing. Amen. So if you want those cookies, they'll go quick. Amen. I like bloopers, you know, things that people mean to say, and preachers are good at it. And so it's not picking on anybody, but a lot of times you see those ads, you know, and in the paper, especially the ones about cars, and it lists this wonderful car, and it says won't last long. I think, well, why would you want it? You know, when I get one, I want one to last a long time. But these cookies won't last long, I assure you that. All right, let's stand together, shall we? In the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 28 to verse 30. Amen. I said we'd talk about making peanut brittle since a lot of our makers are not here right now. We'll talk about that tonight. We do want to make one more time before Christmas. Monday night was, of course, a normal, but that's kind of ways off from Christmas Day, actually. So I want to check about the possibility of making a little bit later in the week so it'll be a little bit fresher for Christmas Day, because a lot of people are going to be wanting to buy it for that. So we'll talk about that tonight. All right. In the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28, this is the greatest invitation. The greatest invitation. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. You may be seated. The greatest invitation. According to some statistics that I read, 10 million people will go to their doctor this year and complain of being weary and cannot rest. It's called chronic fatigue. Brooks Army Medical Center in San Antonio did a study, a random study of 1,000 people. From the time they said we're going to do the study, they kept record of 1,000 people that came through their doors, and of those 1,000 people, one-fourth, 250 out of 1,000 said, I'm so tired and I can't seem to rest. Chronic fatigue. Connecticut Medical School did a study. They opened what they called a fatigue center. The first 100 patients that came in said that they had been suffering from fatigue for 13 years. That was the average. We are living in a time when people just can't seem to rest. Everybody just seems to be weary. Vance Havner said it this way. He said, come apart and rest, or you'll just come apart. I think he had a good reason there. Church member came to a pastor and said, I called you Monday and I couldn't get you. The pastor said, well, that was my day off. And the church member kind of scoffed and said, huh, the devil never takes a day off. And the pastor said, well, if I didn't, I'd be just like him. And so we need rest, folks. We need rest. You know, we don't really know what it is. Scientists have studied sleep, and they really don't know what it really is. Everybody seems to need it, though there's a few people that do not sleep. Did you know that? There are some people that don't require sleep, but they do require rest. There are some people that never lay down in bed, never close their eyes to go to sleep, and yet they function. But they recharge themselves in other ways. They just don't require what you and I would call sleep. Some people like to sleep a lot. Other people don't sleep very much. Amen. And My brother was one of those people. He used to tell me, he said, you know, he said, I go to bed at night about 2 o'clock in the morning. He said, I'm up by 6. And I thought, my, here's a Superman here. I kind of like a little more than that. So I went to his house to visit him. I thought, well, this is going to be interesting. But you know what? We come in, he had a cabinet shop. We'd build cabinets, and we'd come in at about and have supper, and he'd sit down in his easy chair about 9 o'clock. And I'd be talking to him, and all of a sudden, he's out of it. And sure enough, he didn't go to bed till 2 o'clock, but he sat in that recliner from 9 to 2 and slept. And then he'd get up at 2 o'clock, and he'd go to bed, and yes, he'd get up at 6 o'clock, but he'd been sleeping since 9. So it doesn't matter where you rest, but you got to rest, folks. Rest is something that's important. Where do you find it? Philosophy offers rest from mental stress. If you just follow the right philosophy, they say, then you'll have rest from all of your mental stresses. And then, of course, psychology weighs in and says, we'll give you, if you can balance your ego and your super ego and your id, and you can get all of that in balance in your psyche, then you'll have rest. And then religion pipes in. Buddha says, there's 8 paths. If you can just follow the eightfold path, you can find rest. If you have the right view, the right intention, the right speech, the right action, the right livelihood, the right effort, the right understanding, and the right concentration, you'll have rest. Islam says that if you give alms, confess Allah and Muhammad is prophet, give to the poor, pray 5 times a day, and take a pilgrimage to Mecca, you'll have rest. So religion doesn't really seem to have the answer. Philosophy doesn't really seem to have the answer. Psychology really doesn't seem to have the answer. But Jesus said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Right. Amen. Either he was insane, or he is who he said he was. Right. Nobody else made that offer. Nobody else made that prophet, that promise. Nobody else stood up and said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Amen. Nobody else made that kind of an offer to us. Amen. So the first and the great invitation is come. And I like the next word that he uses. He said, all. His promise is to everybody. He said, if you're weary, if you're laboring, if you're heavy laden, come unto me. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody weary today? Anybody been laboring today? Anybody heavy laden today? I'm giving you an invitation. Hallelujah. To come to somebody that can take away your heavy load and can give you rest. Jesus said it. He said, all ye that labor. The word labor means to toil. It comes from a Greek word that means to cut or to lacerate or to shatter like a ship striking a rocky shoal. Amen. Sometimes life feels like that. Do you ever feel like you've been cut up and you've been lacerated? Amen. And your life feels like it's just kind of shattered. Amen. And you've been toiling and you've been working and you've been just doing your very best, but you're not getting anywhere. And you're just weary. You get up weary in the morning and you trudge wearily through the day and you're weary all through the night, but there just doesn't seem to be any rest for you. Amen. Praise God. He said, all that are heavy laden. Heavy laden is the passive result of toil. You know, one of the reasons that we're so weary, some folks, is because you're carrying too much. Some people are carrying the burdens of yesterday. Amen. They've got all of these things they're carrying around, all of these regrets, and all of the guilt, and all of the shame, and all of the some bitterness thrown in, and some grudges thrown in, and that's such a heavy load to carry. And they get up in the morning and they carry it all day long, and they're heavy laden. Amen. It's like the old farmer that was trudging along. He had a 100-pound bag of corn on his back, and he was all bent over, and his neighbor stopped, and he said, "Hey," he said, "let me give you a ride here." The guy said, "Thank you, neighbor." And so he gets his bag, and he throws it up in the wagon, and he crawls up in the wagon, sits on the seat, and he reaches over, and he grabs that big bag of corn, and he tosses it back up on his back, and he's sitting there beside his neighbor, and off they go. And the neighbor says, "That's mighty uncomfortable, isn't it?" He said, "Yes, sir, it sure is heavy." He said, "Well, why don't you just lay it in the back of the wagon?" He said, "No, sir." He said, "This horse has got enough to do just pulling the two of us." Makes about as much sense as some of the burdens that we carry. Yeah, some of the things that we hold on to. Amen. No wonder we get weary. Some of us are living yesterday and we're living tomorrow. We're worried about tomorrow. What am I going to do tomorrow? How am I going to make it tomorrow? Amen. And you're just all loaded down with all the worries of yesterday and all of the cares of the future. How am I going to make it? What's going to happen if this happens? What's going to happen if that happens? How am I going to make it if this happens? Amen. And then, of course, there's the load of today tossed into all of that. So you're carrying yesterday and tomorrow and the day, and you're heavy laden. No wonder you're heavy laden. No wonder you're weary. No wonder you're tired. No wonder you can't rest. Amen. And then you can toss some other things in there, trying to live up to other people's expectations. Some people carry that load their whole life. Amen. So-and-so didn't love me when I was little, and I just keep on trying to please them so that someday they're going to accept me. Someday they're going to love me. Someday they're going to believe in me. Lay that burden down. Jesus was writing actually to people that were carrying religious burdens. They were carrying the burden of Phariseeism. Pharisees took the law of God and added a whole bunch of stuff to it. The Bible said that you were not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. And so the Pharisees took upon themselves to define what work was. And so they decided that walking was work. But walking is also necessary. So they said if you would walk 1,000 steps on the Sabbath, that was all you could walk. And if you had to go further than 1,000 steps or 1,000, they said you just have to get your servant and have him go out 1,000 steps and prepare a meal. And that could be considered a residence. So then from that, you could go another 1,000. See, they had to have some loopholes, didn't they? Man's laws always have loopholes. God's laws don't have loopholes. It's yea and amen. Right. Amen. But you see how they did that? And then they decided that you had to wash on the Sabbath. The Bible teaches about washing. So they decided how you'd wash. And so they came up with this idea that all the water that you could use on the Sabbath was 1.5 eggshells full. I don't know where they got that, but that's the rule. And it had to come out of a certain kind of water, and the water had to be kept in a certain place, and it had to be poured a certain way so that the water ran down off of your hands a certain direction. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. And you're trying to keep up with all this stuff. And so Jesus said, "All of you that are weary, if you're heavy laden, Boy, were they heavy laden, trying to keep up with all of that stuff. Amen. Jesus said this. He said, for they bind you with heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. No compassion. No mercy. Peter said this, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? If we can't keep it, why would you put it on somebody else's neck? You know what I've observed? Some of the most, usually the most judgmental people are usually the least compassionate people. They're concerned about making it hard for other folks, but they don't have compassion for anybody. You know what else I've discovered? They're usually not too conscientious themselves. They'll strangle at the gnat and swallow a camel. I know a man, boy, he was tough on all kinds of things. But you talk about walking, you talk about clothesline. He was tough on the clothesline. He knew how to do it. He laid it out straight and strong. He loved that. And he had a collection of Rolex watches. To me, that's a little unbalanced. Thought I read something about costly array. Yeah, you're talking about $10,000-$12,000 a piece. Yeah, that's a little costly. I think that's a little unbalanced. You see what I'm saying? Folks, we need to be balanced in life. Amen. We need to have compassion. We need to have mercy. Amen. Let God deal with some folks. Praise God. Amen. And so Jesus said there's some heavy burdens out there. Some heavy burdens. He said, there's some folks, they'll put the burden on you, but they won't do anything to help you lift it. They won't help you carry it. Amen. God help us to have a church. God help us. God help us to have a church where people that come in heavy laden can lift, can leave this place with a burden lifted. That when folks walk out of here, they'll say, my, I feel so much better than when I came. Amen. I've been in the presence of the Lord. I feel strengthened. I feel refreshed. I think I can go on. I believe I can make it from here. Somehow, in some way. Amen. Jesus said, come unto me. And here's the beauty of it. He said, I will give you rest. He said, I'm not going to tell you what to do to get rest. He said, I'm going to give you rest. I'm not going to give you 8 steps that if you'll follow those 8 steps, you can find rest. I'm not going to give you some kind of a religious prescription. And if you'll keep that prescription, you can have rest. He said, no. He said, I personally am going to give to you rest. Amen. He's saying to us, he said, I'm the source. It comes out of me. It flows from me. I will give you rest. He didn't just say, I know about rest. He said, but I will give you rest. Amen. What is rest for? Why do we need to rest? Did you know you can get tired resting? Anybody ever tried that? You know, I can't take much vacation. I get just a little bit of it, not that enough. I can't handle a whole lot of that. I can rest, but, you know, not too much. As soon as I get rested, I'm ready to do something. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to, let's get something done here. Let's accomplish something. I mean, you see, there's a purpose to rest, and rest is not an end in itself. It's to refresh you, replenish you. It's to restore you. It's to strengthen you so that you can go and accomplish more. Amen. Jesus said, come unto me, I'll give you rest. Amen. And once you get rested and strengthened and inspired, he said, now you go and let's do some more. Let's go a little further down the road now. Let's accomplish a little bit more today. And you know, one of the ways he said that he rested, and listen to this, he said, take my yoke upon you. You know what a yoke is? Now, though, we're not talking about eggs here. That's a different kind of yolk. I'm talking about a yolk. Amen. You know, a yolk is, in Bible times, it was a wooden beam that was carved to go over the back of beasts of burden, and it was used for plowing fields and pulling loads. Now, Jesus probably knew about yokes. I got a feeling that he probably made a few in the carpenter shop. He was acquainted with yokes, and he understood the artistry of a yoke. You see, he said, "For my yoke is easy." A yoke that easy is easy as one that fits right. If a yoke doesn't fit right, it rubs blisters and causes disease. You see, and so he said, "My yoke is easy. It's going to fit you." Hallelujah. That's why you don't try to make other people exactly like you are, because your yoke doesn't fit everybody. But it does. That's why God puts all kinds of people in the church. Hello. God puts all kinds of people in the church. He's not a cookie cutter God, and everybody comes in and he cuts you out of the same pattern. Amen. No, sir. We're not cookie cutter Christians. Everybody's an individual. And he wants you to be an individual. And he makes you to be an individual. You see, and his yoke fits everybody right. Amen. The Bible said, "Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers." You want to get weary? You put two beasts in a yoke that don't fit together. The Bible said you don't put an ox and a donkey in the same one. Right. Ain't going to work. South Texas, they told me a story. They said, you know how we get an old bull broke to stay in the pasture? I said, "My, how would you do that?" They said, "Well, if a bull gets out and goes wild and gets away," he says, "we tie him to a donkey." What in the world would you tie him to a donkey for? You know, a little old skinny donkey up beside this big burly bull, what chance does he have? I'll tell you what chance he has. He's stubborn. Every time that bull wants to do something, donkey says nope, and he just digs in with all 4 feet. And the bull's got to drag him everywhere he goes. And after a while, he gets so tired of dragging that donkey. Finally, wherever the donkey wants to go, the bull says, "All right, we'll just go your way then." And he just leads him around because he's so stubborn. He becomes such a weight and such a burden that the bull just gives in. Amen. You see, some of you are trying, you're unequally yoked with something, and it's wearing you out. Amen. The Bible talks about the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, when you're not in the will of God, you're always pulling against something. It's a burden. And you're trying to make life work the way you want it to work. And it's not working. And you get so weary because didn't the Lord tell Paul that? He said, "Saul, Saul," he said, "it's so hard for you to kick against the pricks. You're trying to go your way, Saul. You're trying to serve God, but you're trying to do it your way. You're trying to make me into your image. You're trying to make me what you want me to be instead of allowing me to make you what I want you to be." Amen. That's Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Learn of me." See, that's one of the objects. You take a younger oxen and you put him with a wise older oxen, and he learns how. He starts out, you see, and the older oxen, he's taking most of the load at the beginning. And the load is light for the young one because he doesn't really know anything about it. But the old one begins to teach him how to do things. And the young one begins to learn. Let me tell you something, folks. Life has some burdens in it. Life has some burdens in it. And it always will. And you've just got to learn how to pull those things. I read somewhere some time ago that whenever an ox gets a burden that's too heavy for him to carry, he gets down on his knees and he shortens the distance, you see. When he's standing up here, there's a lot of distance between the power and the ground. And so he gets down on his all fours, and he gets down on his knees, and he shortens the length, and then he begins to pull with his knees, and he gets the load going. And after he gets it started, then he stands back up on his feet, and he's got the momentum, and then he begins to pull the load. Quite a lesson for life, isn't it? Sometimes life's going to get you down on your knees. So when the load gets so heavy that you just don't think you can pull it, and you just don't think you can make it, you get down on your knees and you just begin to pull with everything that's inside of you. And you'll find that things get started. And after it gets started, it gets a lot easier. And you're able to do things that you never thought, you never dreamed that you could do before. Songwriter said years ago, he said, God, don't give us lighter burdens, just give us a stronger back. That's a good Christian. That's a good Christian. One man was so blessed, he said, God, I'm so blessed. He said, stop the blessing, God, stop the blessing. His neighbor said, no, God, don't stop the blessing, increase our capacity. That's what we're looking at, folks. We don't want to become less. We want to become more. And that's the whole idea. He said, learn of me to be more than you've been before. To be better than you've ever been before. That's God's goal for you. That's God's intention for us. Amen. So he said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Learn to rest. Learn to rest. Amen. All of us have seen geese flying in the sky. It's quite a sight, isn't it? I love to be outside and hear that honking. And you look up and here come the geese. They're amazing to watch. But you know that there's a method to what they're doing up there. They always kind of fly in a V-shape. And you'll watch them flying along. The reason they do that is because it's aerodynamically easier for them to fly in that pattern. You see, the first one way out on the nose, he's the one that's breaking the path for the others and the wind resistances. It's harder up there where he is. And so he's breaking the wind resistance, and the others are beginning to get into the airstream behind him. And it's easier. And the further back you get, the easier it gets. Is that why people sit on the back? No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not picking on anybody. No, please don't. I'm not picking on anybody here. I just thought I'd throw that in. It just kind of slipped in there. But let me tell you something. It's tough up here sometimes. I don't know about back there, but sometimes it's tough up here. Amen. Isn't that right, Brother Raymond? It's a little different, isn't it? Amen. Because up here, that's what you're doing. You're fighting against the forces and the wind, and you're trying to get people inspired to worship and get people in gear and get people going. Amen. Praise God. And so that's what's happening when you watch those geese fly. But you notice, after a while, that one that's up front, he'll just peel off and he'll go back to the back. And one that's back to the back, he'll fly up to the front. And the one that's flying to the back doesn't say, you can't take my place. I'm the leader around here. I always fly in the front. Well, die then, buddy. Just work yourself to death. You see, the goose has enough sense to know, hey, it's tough up here. I need to rest. So he peels off and he goes to the back. And the one that's been back there kind of taking it easy, he flies up to the front. And he works against the wind. And he's making the way easier for everybody else for a little while until he gets tired and he peels off and another one comes up and takes his place. Wouldn't it be good if we had the good sense of a goose? Amen. And we could learn to just help one another. Amen. And we could learn how to support one another. You see, that's about making the load easier for everybody. It's harder for somebody for a while. And they said, boy, I'm just getting tired up here. And that's why we need so much. We need everybody in this church. We need everybody in this church. We need your help. We can't make it without you. Amen. You know, we've had people that have worked in certain positions around here for 30 plus years. Sometimes they get tired. And sometimes it'd be nice if they had a rest. But the sad fact is sometimes we don't have anybody to take their place. Amen. Nobody to take their place. And so we just got to keep fighting until somebody comes along and says, hey, let me help you here. Why don't you just take a rest this Sunday and let me do this. Amen. Praise God. It's so important, folks, that we find rest here. So important that we find rest. There's nothing in this world like rest. You know, one of the main things they use to break prisoners of war, is sleep deprivation. I don't know if you read a week or so ago, there are some people that wrote some songs and they're real upset with the military because they use their music to keep guys awake for that very reason. One of them was the Barney song. I was kind of surprised at that one. I could understand some of the other ones that are kind of hard and harsh, but that little Barney song, you know, I love you, you love me, we're a happy family, whatever it is. And can you imagine somebody just hearing that until his eyes are... He's about to lose it. Amen. Sleep deprivation. We need rest, folks. We need rest. Jesus said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. He said, you shall find rest into your souls. Let's stand together. Did you know you can rest your body and your spirit still be restless? You know what I'm talking about? Your body can go to sleep, but when you wake up in the morning, there's still that emptiness and that gnawing on the inside of you that was there when you went to sleep the night before, and you're still not rested. Your body had its 8 or 10 hours, whatever it needed, but on the inside, there's still that restlessness. There's still that hunger. There's still that desire. It's not fulfilled. Amen. It's still hungering. It's still thirsting. It's still longing. Amen. Jesus said, come unto me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And ye shall find rest unto your soul. That inner person, that center of the center being, that place that David called it deep, calling out to deep. That innermost part of you that is vital. He said, I'll give rest to that part of you. And when your spirit has rest, everything else is made complete. Somebody restless today? Amen. Here's a place to rest. Amen. Jesus is calling somebody here this morning. Amen. Somebody that needs rest. Why don't you just come unto the Lord for a little while? Amen. Maybe some of you have been like that old goose. You've been out there in the front. You've been pushing and you've been trying and you've been giving everything you got. And you need rest so desperately. Why don't you just come and let the Lord embrace you here today? Let Him wrap His loving arms around you. Let Him whisper into your ear. Amen. Why don't you just come? Spend a little time in the presence of the Lord. He's here right now. He's here to help somebody. Are you restless? Amen. Somebody need rest today. I believe the Lord spoke to somebody in this message today. Somebody needed to hear what we've said here. Somebody needed to hear what we've said here today. Somebody needs some rest.